You are Alpha Omega. of worshiping you, Lord, just how you have intended us to do, Lord Father. I pray for everyone that's here, Lord, especially those that are going through difficult times, Lord. May you know, Lord, that you sustain us, Lord. You are our strength, Lord Father. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord.
Shout out, Lord.
and they'll scream to you and say, blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That I wake up until I lay my head.
brothers and sisters, this time I pray that you open up our hearts and our minds to what our pastor has prepared for us, Lord. We thank you and give you all the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask our brothers, ushers, if they can please come to the front. I'm going to ask our brother, Eden, if he can please bless the offering.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I just wanted to remind you on behalf of the electing committee that we are doing it differently this year, and we are not going to have nominations on voting day, which is August 30th. Instead, you have until July 12th to fill out one of these papers that I think you guys have seen in the entrance of the church. We as a committee, we are looking at these nominations, and we will consider them and interview them. If we are searching for nominees that meet the qualities given to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I urge you all to go home and read 1 Timothy chapter 3, and keep us in our prayers, in your prayers, and if you have any questions, you could come to me or to any of the members of the committee. And thank you, and God bless you.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. How are we doing this morning? How are we doing this week? Quite a week, huh? Still blessed, amen, for everything that the Lord does for us. I mean, we live in Southern California. I mean, these kind of things are expected, right? But when they come, it's like we don't expect it. That's the whole part. I mean, some parts of the nation, we have hurricanes, we have tornadoes. Is something going to go off? No. There was an alarm. It says, time's up, Pastor. So in Southern California, we have wonderful weather, but, you know, it comes right along with a little tremors, little earthquakes that we have here and there. But we do thank God that I've heard the news and nothing major aside from structural issues and stuff like that, but no lives, no something like that. But We do always want to keep on our toes and just know we live in Southern California. My parents, my mom and her husband had some relatives come from Merida, visiting them this week. And it's like all of a sudden, it's like they felt the 6.4 in the 4th of July. I said, well, now you can truly say you visited California. None of this Walt Disney, Magic Mountain, nah. You felt it. And then they got the 7.1. They said, we're ready to leave. Like, well, thank you for visiting us. Come back soon. But it is something that we thank God that he is there. Remember, God is in control. Okay, God is in control. And that's what we have to always, always realize that. So let us open up our Bibles, children to Children's Church. We'll open up our Bibles once again to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to do scripture reading from verse 8. So it's chapter 5, verse 8, 2 Corinthians. And the word of God reads as this. We are confident, I say, Paul is speaking here, and I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. I'll read it again. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this glorious day that you have given to us, Lord. Another day, Father, when we can come together and just worship you and honor you and exalt your name, O Father. We thank you for your presence here with us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that resides in us, O Lord. And that every day, Lord, your presence goes with us whenever we go, Lord. We thank you, Father, for being here, Lord. And I ask your Holy Spirit to guide us through today's message. And that the words that proceed from my lips, Lord, may they edify your people. But ultimately, Lord, give you all the honor and all the glory. Because all this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just a little tagging on. I think everybody here doesn't apply. But as far as what Sister Jocelyn was saying, memberships, if you are not a member of the church, just because you've been coming to the church for 100 years, doesn't necessarily make you a member of the church. Thank you for your presence and support. But just make sure that you have a membership application on file so that on the day of the elections, you are able to cast a vote for our leaders that will be taking office 2020. Year 2021, right? I'm in school mode. Okay, so chapter 5, verse 8 in 2 Corinthians. I mean, today's message, brothers, I mean, it's not really one that, you know, death, you know, death. When we read this verse, we would tend to think that Paul wanted death to really come quickly, right? I mean, not in a sinister way, but he knew that when he would eventually die or when eventually death would come, he would eventually start living next to his Lord. I like the subtitle in the Bible, because in the subtitle that reads for 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the subtitle says, Our Future After Death. Okay? And a lot of people out there in the world tend to think that death is like the final it, you know, that after death there's nothing. When we as Christians, we who know that there is life, really, life begins after death. And that's something that we sometimes don't keep in our mind. So this concept of death is very different from what we have learned and also from what the world teaches. I mean, the world teaches that when you die, it all stops. Right? I mean, everybody out there, and a lot of people fear that, and they don't understand that. And that's only because the one who is going to give you life after your body ceases here is Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is not in your body, is not in your soul, is not in your heart, then yes, your mind stops at this point right here, right? But we who know that because Jesus resurrected from the cross, we know that he, just as he resurrected, the promise is also extended to us that we will also resurrect unto life for eternal life in the presence of God. And that's something that sometimes we have to kind of, you know, help people to understand. If you want to live forever, well, we actually can live forever, but it depends. We're talking location here. Where do you want to live forever? It's something that we really have to promote. Now, we as children of God, our main goal is to really preach to preach the word of God and let all those that do not know the presence of Christ in his life, or do not have him, to begin to usher them into this new kingdom. So, first of all, nobody likes talking about death, right? I mean, it's such a depressing topic. I mean, who here wants to talk about death? I would rather talk about joy, right? But death is something that we have to understand. I mean, and when we begin to understand what death plays in part in our life, maybe the sadness would then turn into joy, such as today's message. Death means joy. Now, let's look at a few things here. Looking at life as how we know it, we find that there are some absolutes in our life. And what I mean by absolutes is these are things that are considered complete. They're full. They're going to happen. It is what it is. There is nothing. There is no changing about that. For example, in our life on this side of the life border, if you will, the first absolute is that God is truth. Okay, it's complete. There is no finagling it. There is nothing. You can't change it. You can't do anything to it. It's an absolute. God is truth. The Word of God tells us in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord. I do not change. Okay? God is immutable. God doesn't change, right? And because he does not change, he is perfect. He is an absolute. It is what it is. Furthermore, it tells us in Psalm 93:5, your statutes stand firm, O Lord. Meaning his statue, his word. His word is truth. When you want to know something that's going on in the world, it's here. The truth is here. You want to expose a lie, it's exposed by the truth. You can't compromise it. It is what it is. It is complete. It is full. It is what it is. It's an absolute. His precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. Okay, they're eternal. Because they come from this God of truth. And of course, John 17:17 tells us that his word is truth. So God is our first absolute. He is our moral compass. A lot of people would kind of debate that from their perspective, but this is what it is. This is the Bible. His word comes from a God who is true, comes from a God who is good, comes from a God who is perfect, comes from a God who is sovereign above all things. And so therefore, the word that he gives to us, it's absolute. It's complete. So if you ever need any direction, you come to the word. You don't go anywhere else because you'll get lost. The word is the only one that's going to provide that true direction in your life. And that's why it's absolute. Like I said, a lot of people don't like it because it might interfere with the way they want to live their life. But there's a big difference of living your life or doing what you want to do, thinking that you're living your life. And it's not, because this is life, right? That's why it's an absolute. And that's why as Christians and as followers of God, we always come back to his word. Because this is what gives us that direction. This is what gives us that leading. So that's your first. That's the first absolute. The second absolute, brothers and sisters, on this side of the living border, if you will, is death. That's an absolute. Can't change that. Can't finagle it. It is complete. It is done. It is what it is. I mean, the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27 says, and it is appointed for men to die once. Okay? And then, so every man or woman is going to eventually die. Everything that is born eventually dies. There is none of this that goes on forever and ever and ever. No. Everybody that is born will eventually one time die. Don't get depressed. Remember, this is something I told you. Death is not one of these topics that a lot of people like to talk about, but it's reality. It's reality, right? And then every day that we get closer, to our time of departure, I mean, every day. We think we live every day. We're actually getting closer. You wake up every morning and it's a one day closer to death. Wow, Pastor, Please. Let's continue. What did you have for breakfast this morning? Obviously nothing, right? But it is a fact of life. It's a fact of life. And we don't understand it. And because sometimes we don't understand that process, we don't like to talk about it and we like to just ignore it. But it is a part of our life. Woody Allen, this comedian, director, writer, author, he says, it's not that I'm afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. We can't avoid it. It is what it is. You cannot avoid it. You can't sneak around. You can't go around trying to avoid death. You just can't. Okay? So when that eventual day happens, then comes the second part, which is the third absolute. But this now happens after death, right? So the word of God is truth. Yes, now. Death, well, that would be a now. And then, but that kicks it into the next absolute, which then comes judgment. You will be judged. You will be judged. Nobody's going to sneak around and say, I can't, I'm not. They can't hide around. You will be judged. Now, there's a difference between that. I mean, God will judge everyone on the basis of his absolute, eternal, and unchangeable law. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14 says, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is our responsibility. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or bad. Everything will be judged. Okay? And so eventually when we start talking about judgment, we naturally start thinking about punishment. Okay, but there's a difference here. Okay, judgments, there's actually going to be two judgments that are happening about, right? So after death, when you die, well, if you are a believer in Christ, you will get judged, but you will get judged according to what the Bible refers to as the Bema or the Bema judgment seat of Christ. And this is not a judgment of punishment. This is not God, Jesus is not going to punish you for being obedient and following his word, for accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior. In fact, this judgment seat here is a rewards judgment. It's for all the good works that you have done. He says this is where Jesus now comes and rewards you for all of the sacrifice, for all of the love that you endured, for all the times that you served him in this world. All what you have done, you will come one day, stand before Jesus, and he will reward you. Okay? It's not a judgment. Okay? It's one that he will then pass on to you, those rewards, like it says there in verse 5, in Ecclesiastes 14. It says, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is bad. If we have not been those faithful Christians up to par, but you get up to heaven, you will not receive a reward for those things. But the good things that you have done, and means the expression of your faith here on earth, and the good works that you have done here in Jesus' name, those you will receive your reward. So all of you leaders, all of you ministers, all of those, you will be rewarded. And Christ has a special reward for each and every one of you. As a believer, you get your reward. As a follower, as a servant, we will all be rewarded. That's why we consider this a job, you know, where we're faithfully working. And yeah, we don't receive a paycheck at the end of the week, but we will receive a paycheck up in heaven. Okay? And this is the Bema judgment seat of Christ. So once you die, if you are a believer, you will be rewarded by Jesus. Now, when you die, and if you're not a believer, well, here's the other thing. You're now standing before God himself in the great white throne judgment. This great white throne judgment is not a place where you can say, Lord, please forgive me. It is not a place for salvation. It is too late. It is a place now where you're standing before God. He is now judging you. And all he's really doing is really showing you all the times where all your evil works and all the times when the message of salvation was given to you and you have denied it and you have rejected it. You rejected the Holy Spirit. And And therefore, you do not get to stand before Jesus, but now you stand in condemnation, in judgment before God. At that point, there is no, Lord, please have mercy on me. All this time, he shows you. That's why when everybody goes, all the people that are cast into the lake of fire for eternity, they will know exactly why they are in there. Every person that's in this earth that's alive will understand, will know whether they're in front of Jesus or whether they're in front of God and why they are there. It's not like, I didn't know, nobody showed me, nobody talked to me, nobody said anything to me. They will know. God is a just God. And that's why God gives multiple opportunities for you now to accept Jesus as your saving grace, to accept the gift that he has given to you so that you can then come through him to our Lord and avoid all of this. Many, many, many times God does this. And we are very thankful. See, in the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelations 20, verse 11 through 14, if you want to go there. Revelations 20, verses 11 through 14 says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened." That means everybody who did not accept, didn't matter any political ranking, it didn't matter any social ranking, how much money you had, who you were in this earth, nobody. If you did not accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are standing now before the great white throne judgment before God. And so he says, the books were opened, and another book was opened, in which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. All of the evil acts of those that do not accept Jesus Christ, they're being written down. And so when their books are open, it's kind of like a flashback of everything that they have done and why they're now standing here. It's sort of like when you go to court and you go to trial and somebody actually reads to you why you're standing in this court. The long rap sheet, okay? All the crimes, everything that has now been accused of you, everything is read to you, and that's the reason why you're there. This is what's happening up there. The books are open. Everything is read to you. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up to the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And anyone found written in the book of life who was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay? So this is not one, when you hear the word judgment, if Christ is in your heart, you do not fear, because this doesn't apply to you. Okay? This doesn't apply to you. If Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you are not standing before this great white throne judgment. Okay, and I know that a lot of the times, because we don't have that clarity between what's actually happened to me, we tend to think of ourselves there, and we tend to think of ourselves in front of God, now standing in line for it. You know, I don't know, a millennia or two, who knows? People won't get tired; they'll be standing in line, and then God is judging them. This is not us. If Jesus is in your heart, if Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, you have already been judged, not you, your acts have been judged, and you have been blessed from Jesus and his, you have been blessed with the prize, if you will, of what you have done here on earth. So there's a death, when you die, which is an absolute, you will die, you know, eventually that will come, then you will be judged as a Christian, as a believer, and then judge as a non-believer. That's where the judgment comes in. Okay, so that's the absolute. And then that's absolutely going to happen. So first absolute, God is truth, is one that we should all live by, the word of God. Okay, and the third absolute, judgment, is one that we will all confront, each one by our own selves, whether here or whether there. But since today is the first Sunday of the month, and we are remembering Christ's death on the cross, I want to focus on death. I'm going to focus on death, which is the second absolute, right? Which is the second one. So let's be honest here. Everyone that is born will eventually and most assuredly die. Bottom line, right? It's a fact that we can't change that. That's why it's that absolute. And it's always interesting to see how many people try to cheat death. It takes it a while for the picture to kick in. It's actually a little mouse with a little helmet here, stealing the cheese so when it hits it, he won't die. I know we have issues with our projector, but that's what it is. But a lot of people try to cheat death. I mean, a lot of people want to eat better, you know, thinking that if we eat better, we're going to live longer. Yes, you're going to live longer, but guess what? Eventually, you will die. You will die a very healthy person. You'll be a very healthy corpse. I'm sorry. But eventually, that's what's going to happen, right? A lot of people like doing the exercise and the healthy eating, and those are all good so that you maintain your body well, you're not in pain, you're doing everything good. That is good. I'm not saying to stop doing it. Yeah, I'm going to die anyways. What's the point? No, none of that. I'm not saying that. Continue your good and healthy eating habits. Continue doing your exercise. But, you know, eventually our life will succumb to death, right? So we do exercises. We do that. I mean, a lot of people go into extremes and go into surgeries, okay, thinking that that will make you live longer. Well, you're going to pay a lot, but it's not going to make you live any more longer than what has already been, according to the Word of God, appointed. It is appointed unto man. So each one of us has an appointment with this character, death, okay, who will be knocking at the door one day, right? And how you greet it is not, you're running out all over the place and trying to avoid death. No, you will not, he says. So a lot of people try to cheat death, but eventually you can't, because everything that is born must eventually all die. Life, as you know it, will end. Many people want to continue living on this earth, I mean, because they think that this earth is paradise. Not so, right? Not so. Even though there's a place in Las Vegas called paradise, not so. Okay? There's an island out there, Hawaii, it's paradise, not so, right? I mean, this is not paradise. Many people want to continue living here thinking that this is it. But it is not it. Right? It is not it. Let me tell you. For the believer, earth is as closest to heaven. For the unbeliever, earth is as closest to heaven as they will ever get. Okay? And for the believer, earth is as closest to hell as they will ever get. Right? So depending on where you're standing, if you're a believer, then this is the closest place to hell as you're going to get. Right? Because after you die, you go to heaven. But if you are an unbeliever, earth is as closest to heaven as you're going to get, because the next step is hell, right? So you're standing in that middle ground. You're standing in that deciding point. And where you spend your eternity depends on you. That's where it all comes down. I mean, when death comes knocking, how do you want to greet it? Okay? Do you know where you're going to go? Do you know what your next step is going to be? Do you know when you open up your eyes, After you die, what are you going to see? Are you going to see Jesus or are you not? Right? Tertullian, which was a third century father of the church, said, it's a poor thing to fear that which is inevitable. I mean, why are we fearing it? Why do we not like to talk about death? Again, very depressing. But when people bring it up, you know where you stand. You know that when life ceases here on earth, you know that you're going to be in a better place. And if anything, somebody that does not have Christ in their heart, that's your open doorway for you now to begin to share the gospel. Because if they fear death, if they don't know where they're going to go, then here's where you can guide them to the place where they can go, which is into the arms of our Savior. Now, I found this interesting article about death and how many cultures confront it. So death is marked in so many ways around the world that an understanding of different rituals can be helpful, particularly in a cross-cultural environment. It's not death as such, which is universal experience, but the expression of grief that differs so much between cultures. How each culture confronts death, it's really the interesting and the most the interesting part of all this. For example, in Korea, where cremation is becoming more commonplace nowadays, there is a trend to have the ashes of a loved one refined and turned into colorful beads. While these are not worn, if you visit a Korean home and see these beads on display, they're likely to be the ashes of a loved one of the homeowner. Right? So they're turned, the ashes are turned into beads. While in China, the color white is the color of mourning in China, not black, right? As in the West, and as such, it is regarded unlucky, right? This is why white flowers to a Chinese person is very inappropriate during a funeral. Okay? It's offensive. Buddhists' funeral rituals vary according to the age and the status of a deceased, but the official mourning period for them is over 100 days of mourning. In Japan, it's totally the opposite. Death is seen as a liberation, and acceptance is more important than expressing oneself. People bring condolence money to the wakes in white envelopes tied with black and white ribbon. In these cultures, life is seen as cyclical rather than linear, as the dead are believed to have powers over the living, such as the ability to bless or curse. In Ghana is another example of this belief in the afterlife, with a relatively new tradition of elaborate coffins, okay, which illustrates the interests, the profession, or the status of the departed, but also seeing them off into the next life in style. Right? So a coffin may take the form of an airplane, may take the form of a Porsche, okay, a Coca-Cola bottle, I mean, or even an animal, or even in such dubious taste, a giant cigarette packet. Coffin makers are highly sought after and are regarded as important artists. Funerals are enormous affairs, often costing more than weddings, and advertised on huge billboards so that nobody in the community misses out. Ghana, right? Other parts of Africa, funeral rites have evolved from the blending of Christian, Islam, and traditional practices. In southern Africa, like Ghana, funerals are enormous affairs involving entire communities as numbers swell, catering becomes more complex with animals slaughtered to feed the crowd. If you're an employer, let's say in Botswana and Namibia, you need to allow time off for funerals, and if you employ several workers in the same community, you may well lose all of them for days at a time in the event of a death. A couple of more. Hindu faith, it is preferable to die at home surrounded by family. The soul is believed to go on according to one's karma. Bodies are cremated quickly, usually within 24 hours, in order to liberate the soul quickly. Mourners wear white, not black, and people do not bring food to the wake, but to a ceremony 13 days after the cremation, at which the soul is liberated and the mourning period considered over. And then Muslims bury their dead rather than cremating them, in the belief that there may be a physical resurrection of the Day of Judgment. The dead are buried facing Mecca, and graves raised above the ground or marked by stones so nobody walks over them. Crying is expected at ritual at burials, but a loss of control of wailing and shrieking is seen inappropriate. A mourning period of up to 40 days follows a burial. Isn't that interesting how many people, many cultures, and this is just, you know, some cultures. I mean, we have in our Hispanic culture, I mean, when my grandmother passed away, the expectation was, you know, you have the mourning period, you have the wake, where they do the rosaries there. And then in my little hometown, my grandmother was taken from her house to the cemetery in this procession through the whole town, where everybody was just joining in and then meeting us over there at the cemetery. I mean, kind of saying like their last respects to my grandmother, right? I mean, it's always interesting to see how couples, I mean, how we confront death. But what if I was to say that death is not a time of wailing and lamenting and departure, but rather a time of joy? I mean, when you take a look at it from that perspective, you might say, oh, Pastor, you're crazy. But think of your absolutes. Death is going to happen. It's going to happen. So why the surprise? I mean, if this person lived according to the first absolute, which is the word of God, and followed all of this, then judgment is not a condemnation. Judgment is of receiving a prize. So if you see it in that point, then you rejoice. That's why we as Christians, whenever we have funerals, we're celebrating the life they had, but we are more joyous of the fact they're now beginning in the presence of Christ, where they will now rejoice forever and ever. I mean, Jesus will reward you or your loved one for the hard work that they have done here on earth. It is a time of eternal peace. It is a reunion with Christ. It is a reunion with the loved ones, and death will never be part of your life again, because you are now living eternally. So you will never have to confront death again, right? But it's a reunion of Christ, reunions of your loved ones. I mean, how can there be pain? Revelation 21:4 says, He will wipe every tear away from your eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older things have passed away. And if you believe the word of God as your first absolute, then you know that this word here, that there is something better awaiting us when we go before the presence of our Lord. So when you confront death at the front door, not that you're seeking him, right? Let me make that little parenthesis here. We are not seeking death. Eventually, you know, he'll come and find us, right? When the appointed time is up, but he will come and find us, but we know where we are headed. We know where we are going to be. I mean, does this really sound terrible? I don't think so. It does not sound terrible. That's why we as Christians, we look up to death with joy. Okay? So when our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross for us, Satan was probably rejoicing because he had finally said, after many attempts, he finally killed Jesus. I mean, you know, just if we look at the Bible, Satan has been trying to kill Jesus ever since he was born. Right? Always trying, when he, you know, tried to kill all the two-year-olds and below, and many times he tried to stop the Savior from coming, but eventually he shows them. But what did this really show? It shows that he knew nothing. By having his evil servants condemn and crucify Jesus on the cross, they were about to trigger the destruction of their own dominion over mankind. Their greatest weapon, which is death, was about to be rendered powerless. And Satan's greatest strategy to kill God's creation through sin would eventually be washed away as if man had never sinned before through Jesus' death on the cross. Through Jesus' death, we have found freedom from the bondage of sin. No more are we separated from God. But through Jesus, we have now been reconciled with God. Are we not happy about that? And that's what happens because Jesus is now our Lord and Savior. So this is what it means. This is why the death of Jesus brings joy to us. Not in a morbid sense, but we know that because he carried our sins on that cross and he died for us on that cross, we now have entrance to the eternal resting place in the arms of Jesus. We now have an entryway into heaven. If Jesus had not given up his life for us, then we would all be in condemnation. The only place we would all go to is hell. But through Jesus, we now all have access to heaven. Excuse me. So if you do not believe in the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross for you, then death for you means pain. Eternal pain. Eternal suffering, eternal lamenting, eternal separation from God. When Jesus does not form part of your life, this is how people confront death. And that is why all the wailing, that is why all the crying, that is why all of this, because they don't know what's happening. But this is what's going to happen if you do not have Christ in your heart. You will have eternal lamenting and suffering. Who here is sad about that, right? A lot of people. But Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He says the wages of sin, what you owed, you couldn't pay. The only way that you could pay it is by dying. But God gave a gift to us through Jesus, which is eternal life. And Jesus was the only one that can pay your debt. And that's why you, through Jesus, now have life. Same thing happens, brothers. 2 Corinthians 5, it's a lot up there. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 10. It says, therefore, always be confident and know that as long as we are in the home, in the body, here, alive, we are away from the Lord. We live, for we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are in the home of the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due for the things he has done while in the body, and whether it's good or whether it's bad. So he says, yeah, we are here in the body, but we are away from God. I would prefer to be away from the body and present with God. But since we are not, hey, let us continue working here. Okay? Because everything that we do here for God will be judged. Okay? So Paul is telling the Corinthians this, and he's letting them know, here's what you need to be occupied doing. You need to continue doing this. Don't just chill. Don't just kick back. We are here to do God's will. See, all of this it comes to us because of Jesus on the cross. I mean, let's look at it. We can't change God. God is immutable, right? You can't change God. We have no control over death. It's going to happen. You will have that appointment with you. He has your appointment time. It will come, right? But what you can have something to do with or kind of change is regarding the judgment. Okay, that's what you can control now. What do you want to be judged with? Do you want to be judged through Jesus? Do you want to stand before the judgment seat of the Bema judgment seat of Christ? Or do you want to stand in front of God in condemnation? That's your decision. You can't change God, the first absolute. You can't change the second absolute, which is death. But you can most definitely change the third one depending on the decisions that you make. If Christ is not your personal Lord and Savior, you will stand before God in condemnation. But you can change that. If he is not and you make him your personal Lord and Savior, you go from God's judgment to now Jesus' judgment. Okay? And that's your decision that you need to make. You are the only ones that can make that decision by the way you decide to live your life here on earth. Jesus, through his death, has provided for you a much better and joyful way to live out your eternity. Jesus will reward you by following him and being obedient to his commands as the Lord of your lives. See, there is no other way other than Jesus. And we should already know that. I see all of us here are believers, but we should already know that. And even though the enemy tries to discourage us and tries to make us fall and fall away from Christ and saying that that's not the true way, then and tries to put all these lies into our head, this, you know that you're first absolute. You know that this is truth. And everything that's happening, everything that will happen, is right here in God's word. And that is why we are to follow his word. And that is why we are to live by his word. This is our guide here on earth, right? Until we get one day close to heaven. So as I close, you can make a determination of where you want to stand. If you want to stand in Jesus, he will reward you, or God will pass judgment of condemnation where you will spend eternity with death in the lake of fire and brimstone. And the Bible tells us that is the second death. Okay, so you died, you stand in condemnation, and then you are condemned to the lake of fire. That is considered the second death, right? So for some, death means fear. But for others, for many of us, death actually means joy. Let us bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this, for your word, Father, because it is eternal, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives every single day. Thank you, Father, for your word, which is absolute truth, Lord. And it reminds us, Lord, that you are the true and living God, that through it, through your word, Lord, it leads us directly to your cross. It leads us, O Lord, in the light, a place where we should all live. Father, I ask and I pray for all those that have not, O Lord, sought your gift to mankind, our Lord Jesus Savior, Lord, as their Savior. I ask for them, Lord, I plead for them, Father, that they may open up their hearts so they may stand in front of Jesus, Lord, and not before condemnation. Thank you, Father, for this time, and thank you, Jesus, for giving your life, because through your sacrifice on that cross, we would not be here today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'm asking my